It has been read to us that Christ died according to the scriptures, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Everything happened according to the scriptures. And we are here today and in these days to experience what God's word says. When the Lord spoke in Jerusalem on the last day of the feast, he said a very important word. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his body will flow rivers of living water. That is what we believe. And we claim to believe in this place as the scripture says. May God succeed in penetrating and also in increasing and strengthening our faith, that we break through the sound barrier, that we reach the point where all things are possible by faith. They are indeed at our disposal. I read the word in Joshua today. There it was no longer about the pillar of fire as in the days of Moses. There was the word in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord said, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and let it be carried by the priests and set out to take the land. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with you." Beloved, it is on my heart, and I think on all our hearts, to experience God. We have also noticed that not only we have needs and difficulties, but many others do too. And those who have not yet had them will have them. Every believer has to pass certain tests and go through trials of faith, for our faith shall be found more precious than gold refined in the fire. If we speak of being here to experience God, then it can only happen as it did in the days of the Bible, that God's word comes to us, penetrates us, that we are seized, carried away, penetrated, inspired, and then accept by faith what God has given us by his grace. For every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ. Not only yes, but also amen. The fulfillment, it has all become possible. And the faith we need is indeed the faith wrought by the Spirit and the Word. The faith that becomes a revelation, and the revelation that then steps into what God has promised, and we can take with us what we've prayed for. In these days we are here from different countries, nations, colors, races, different mentalities, from different churches and denominations, but we are here to hurry after one goal we have in mind, to reach it. It does not matter where we come from or who we are. What matters is whether the divine goal has been placed before our eyes, and whether we are willing to renounce and forget everything else and let God align us through the Word. We will briefly go into the Holy Scriptures. Before we do that, I would like to ask two brothers to greet us. I have warm greetings from our brothers and sisters in Romania. This morning a telegram arrived for the end of the year and beginning of the year 1989. We wish you all God's blessing. And then it says here, your brothers and sisters from Romania. Then Brother Etienne Genton called from Italy. He sends his warmest greetings to everyone. Things are happening everywhere. You all know, we recently had these wonderful meetings in Turin, and God blessed in a mighty way, especially in the city where this deception of the shroud was brought to light. And I thought to myself, this is only the beginning. The whole religious fraud must be exposed so that the people realize that they have been deceived by religion, that they were promised heaven, but that they were led to hell. And here I think of the words of Martin Luther, when he was commanded to be silent. There he said, I am to keep silent and watch this Antichrist drag millions of souls down into hell. We cannot remain silent. And recently someone said to me, and I thought it was very elegantly put, he said, Brother Frank, we have nothing against any person, but only against the Antichrist ungodly system. And that is what it is. We have nothing against Islam. Indeed, we have nothing against the people who have been misled, against Hindus or whoever they are. We feel only sorry that people are misled, and that is why we long so much for God to do something that is beyond doubt, that all would know this is the hand of the Lord. This is the doing of God. That they would notice the handwriting on the wall and also know that there is a God in heaven, that He still exists today, that He not only existed in the days of Daniel, who reveals the secret and makes known the things to come, but the same God is our God, the God of Daniel, the God of all the prophets, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. He is the only God, the only true living God. And our Lord said, whoever follows me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. When last night the comment came here, maybe I should say this too, I did not know that our beloved brother was in our midst with his son last night when I made the comment about the funeral. But you know what it's all about. We who have sons and daughters feel for them. And I think all of us who have a heart can sympathize. And our beloved brother asked me to thank us all for the sympathy. What was it? We drove with 4 or 5 cars, and we can testify to you, beloved brother, and to you as a family, that we are united with one another in the love of God, and that we bear with you, feel with you, yes, that we share joy and sorrow with one another. What impressed me so much at this funeral was the fact that among the 180 people, or 200 or more, in any case, it was a large crowd. Most of them were young people, and it touched my heart. And I thought to myself that the Lord could succeed in saving some, so that they could warn others of the broad way that leads to destruction, so that the Lord could also bless. And then when I went to the car and wanted to get in, a young man came with a brochure, Christianity Yesterday and Today. His car was next to ours, and he got into his car with a brochure. And I thought again, O Lord, bless your word on this young man's heart. And we don't know yet what fruit will come out of it. God knows why it happened to you. And I say it again, and I mean it. We bear with you, and we suffer with you. According to the scripture, weep with those who weep, and be joyful with those who are joyful. The consolation we have is that it belongs to God's word. And I said it at the funeral. There is something that we call grace in the last minute. The two thieves who were crucified with Christ did not have time to say much. But the one exclaimed, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that was enough. That was enough. We believe that a young person who has heard and listened to God's word can still call upon the Lord at that moment, and the Lord saves. For thus it is written, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, just very briefly, I have to go to the airport. Just briefly, some passages from the Holy Scripture. I was overwhelmed when I saw last night that especially young people raised their hands. And I asked myself late at night, or even in the middle of the night, and also this morning, what can we do to help everyone to really penetrate to the assurance of salvation? You all know the first step is for people to confess the Lord. But that is not yet the experience of conversion. That is not yet the penetration, not yet the renewal, not yet the new birth. And we do not want to be accused as those who only, as we know from the great world evangelist, that he tells the people, you can stay where you are, but make the decision for Christ. A real decision for Christ entails a following of Christ. It entails to follow Christ. And we still know the times when we struggled through and prayed through until joy, until peace, until bliss penetrated our soul. And we could sing the hymn, when peace like a river penetrates my soul, then my heart rejoices. I said, Lord, what can I do to help all these young people, to help everyone? Then I thought, before the people come to the front who have raised their hands, one should just dare to call everyone forward. Then I thought up to 14, then up to 21, that not only those who want to consecrate their lives to God now should come, but everyone else should also come. You all know, sometimes it needs an introduction. Not everyone always has the courage to openly confess the Lord like this. But these gatherings must not go by without young and old, great and little, experience God. We cannot afford it. We have indeed entered or been ushered into the final phase before the return of Jesus Christ. And we believe that the Lord will give a mighty victory and a great blessing. I would like to read from the Gospel of Luke the well-known word or the well-known verses from chapter 1, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, from the Canticle of Mary. I would like to read here from Luke 1, verses 53 to 55. Luke 1:53-55. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever, as he promised to our fathers. From the prophetic prayer of Zechariah, I read from Luke 1. Luke 1:70. Yes, here one could read much, but I belong to those who like to read little. Luke 1:70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. From Luke 24, we read from chapter 1. Let me now read from the last chapter, Luke 24. Here it says from verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There is an original gospel as it began in early Christianity. In the book of Revelation, it is called the everlasting gospel, which is to be proclaimed to all peoples and tongues. This is the divine gospel of Jesus Christ, which has not been altered and interpreted by men, but has remained so in its divine origin, with a divine effect. This is what Paul meant in the word that Brother Rus read to us in the word of introduction from 1 Corinthians 15. Let me emphasize this verse here still. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul repeated the words of our Lord. He quoted them literally and verbatim. But now there was also the verse here. I would have to find it. I think it was already verse 2. That we have this gospel, this message of salvation, the Greek word gospel, means in itself good news, glad tidings, but related to Christ, not only good and glad tidings, a message of salvation. Divine salvation has been given to us in Christ, and that is why we preach Christ, so that we can proclaim divine salvation to mankind. And of this, Paul writes, by which, that is the message of salvation, also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless ye have believed in vain. There are indeed people who just say, Brother Frank, you have corrected and corrected over the years. Was that necessary? I have been asked that question by brothers who are close to me, who love me, and one even said, didn't you waste time doing that? Beloved, it is part of being admonished. The more we see the day of Christ approaching, and the closer that day comes, the clearer, the truer, the purer, the divine proclamation of the word and gospel of Jesus Christ must be placed upon the lampstand. And there are people who are penetrated by the divine truth. and all error must bounce off them. As we said here last night, it was not a whole chapter. It was one single word that led to the whole of mankind being brought to ruin. One single word transgressed, being disobedient toward one word, pulled everything into death and ruin. And then we see Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who complied with all the demands of the law, who was obedient unto the death on the cross, to become man for mankind, which had fallen, he as the heavenly man. Some have not yet read that properly in 1 Corinthians 15, but here it is written, Christ is of heavenly origin. He became man for the sake of man, but remained God for the sake of God. And as we have said it repeatedly, he had to be man in order to die. He had to be God in order to be able to defeat death, hell, and the devil. For Satan had carried everything away, but now he who was promised came to crush the serpent's head and to take captivity captive. Memorize 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 45 deeply, and may it be transfigured for us by the Spirit of God. It is also written that the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit being. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This is the complete redemption that God has brought us in Christ. And I suggest and recommend that we begin to believe, as the scripture says, and not always fear all kinds of things and worry and grief, but take our stand in the faith, so that one day the powers of darkness will begin to fear and take flight, because we have placed ourselves on the victory ground of Golgotha in faith. It is not as if we have to fight the battle with Satan. It has already happened. Jesus Christ fought that battle. It went over Pilate's hall. It went over interrogation, over Gethsemane, up to the hill of Golgotha. And there, where outwardly darkness was spreading and everything seemed to have failed, and the hope of those who had followed Christ was gone, precisely in such an hour, it pleased God to let the light rise. It pleased God to swallow up death into victory in order to bring eternal life and incorruptible being to light. Let us read to it the precious scripture from Philippians 2. Philippians 2, here we have the description of what happened there, and then of course also in other scriptures, in Ephesians, everywhere it is written and reported about what happened on Golgotha. Here, in Philippians 2, it is written, Philippians 2, from verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God. Beloved, we must accept this once as a divine reality and stand on it in faith. We have nothing more to negotiate with Satan. Jesus never once said, those who believe, these signs will follow. They will negotiate with the demons. He didn't say it like that. He said, they will cast out devils, speak in new tongues. He highlighted the positive. The negotiation was and is behind us. It has already been conducted, and the Lord has come out victorious. Let me read to it from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I ask you, as we hear God's word, agree inwardly with the word. Say within yourselves or before yourselves, yes, Lord, it is so. I believe it. We must go along inwardly. There must be amens. There must be assent. That is not assent to a preacher, but assent to God. We affirm what God has said in His word. And so we honor God in faith. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Well, barely half said Amen. I'll read it again, so that we can all say an Amen from the heart. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. Therefore, Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He could say, so we were buried with Christ through baptism in order to live with him in a new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ did not only die for the sake of our sins, he rose again on the third day for our justification, and we are allowed to live because he lives, yes, to live with him, made alive, in that he has forgiven us all transgressions by grace. I have said it sometime in the past days here, or wherever it may be, or may have been, there are believers who pray all their lives over and over again for forgiveness, that God would forgive them, and they bow so deeply under all the guilt, and they do it again and again. Beloved, the hour has come when we may rise to be lifted up by God. We have been set on higher ground when Christ died. God was in Christ to reconcile the world to himself. When his blood flowed, our guilt and sin were atoned and forgiven. Let us thank God for this. There are people who are reminded by the Spirit of God of certain things that still need to be done away with. But these people do not fall into melancholy. They do not fall into hopelessness. Over them comes a repentance wrought by the Spirit, because they feel they have grieved the Lord. But when Satan appears as an accuser, oh, he wants to finish us off, then the accusations are so massive and so powerful that it all comes down on us like a pressure, and we would almost start again with repentance and turning away from dead works. Let us please pay attention to whether it is the Spirit of God who leads us to repentance, who wants to bring about a deeper cleansing and sanctification in us, or whether it is the accuser of the brethren who would like to put everything back on us and see us collapse. And then he has achieved what he wanted to achieve. We are here to celebrate God's victory with Christ. We are here to experience God anew. And if the Spirit of God puts His finger on anything, we bring it to the Lord and say, O God, have mercy on us. And the Lord is merciful to us. He is a faithful high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has offered a perfect sacrifice once for all. To do what? To provide a perfect salvation for those who come to Him. Hallelujah! Thus it is written in the Word of God. Not partial, and then give and take again, and back and forth. Whom God has forgiven, He has forgiven once for all. Here it goes on in verse 13, having forgiven us all trespasses. Have you read with me? Having forgiven you all trespasses. Does this word make sense? All. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Not only small ones, even great ones. All transgressions forgiven. Dear heart, accept it today as a gift of God's grace, a perfect gift, namely the salvation of your soul, the divine salvation, perfect forgiveness, all guilt, all sin. Do not torment yourself any longer. Find peace with your God. Today, penetrate to the certainty of salvation and rejoice in your God, who has done great things for us by grace. A hymn writer sings, the wailing has ceased. Praise be to the Lord. Now I serve no more sin, and so forth. Free, free, free we may be. All our guilt has been laid on Him. And the punishment that goes with it has also been laid on Him, so that we might have peace. We pray in a moment in faith after reading these two verses. And you has God quickened together with Him, having forgiven us all trespasses. We all say Amen. By verse 14, Colossians 2:14, by blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Amen. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Is that true? Amen. Amen. God triumphed in Christ over Satan, over death, over hell, over sin, over sickness, over everything. We are redeemed after spirit, soul, and body. The outward temptations are only trials. When we grow older, we can smile and say, Lord, You have made sure that we will be young forever. And when the body no longer wants as we want, then we say, Lord, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts, for we are waiting for the changing of our failing body. We need to look away from ourselves and the circumstances that surround us and look to God and God's Word. Then comes joy, then comes peace, then comes blessing, and then faith is triggered, and that is what we need. We need faith that is released, faith that is released and that makes free. We need that faith that is the victory that has overcome the world. Faith gives victory power, as a hymn goes. Jesus is the victor. Amen. And we with him. We stand up for prayer. Faithful God, we thank you together for this grace that has been granted to us. It is not by merit, Lord, but by grace we are saved. You have paid the price. We have heard, Lord. You have gone once for all, O Lord. You have shed your blood for us, Lord. Not with silver or gold, no, but with the precious blood you have purchased us by an infallible Lamb. We worship you. We praise your grace. We glorify your wonderful name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us, Lord, that we have been set free, Lord, once for all, Lord. Twice thou goest not, once, Lord, you have gone, once you have blotted out our sins, Lord, and for that we give you the glory and the praise and the worship. Thou art a great God, you are a holy God. We praise you as your people. We give you the glory and the praise and the worship. You know our hearts, Lord. You see all our lives, Lord. O Lord, give more grace that we might all tune in and exalt your name, which is above all names, wherein all salvation is. Present Savior, King, Priest and Prophet, as a hymn goes. We thank you for your word also this morning, Lord. And we know, Lord, you will continue to be with us. You will bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.